This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Rex Huerman, that's another one. Obviously, the man that's accused of being the Long Island serial killer. That is a very strange relationship and dynamic with him and his wife, Asa Elrup. I have 1,000 questions about what is going on there. And I'm more fascinated by Asa, honestly, than him. He just kind of seems like the, you know, narcissist, like ogre. That's this is what he did. This is what he does, mm-hmm. allegedly. Mm-hmm. But I'm far more fascinated with what the hell is going on with Asa and what, I mean, obviously, you know, abuse, people stick in horrible situations, you know, for survival, out of shame, out of guilt, out of not knowing what else to do. So I'm not in any way trying to blame a victim, but I don't know how much of a victim she actually is. When you look at this case, what do you glean out of it with your background and your experience and your expertise?
Mm-hmm. My thought is that, and I don't know about Asa's background. Like, I haven't looked into her childhood and past experiences much. My assumption has been that there's been a lot of psychological coercive control going on from Rex towards her and the kids.
Yeah.
And when you're in that, we, as a society, we do an awful job of recognizing what the real abuse is. The real abuse is not really the bruises. The real abuse is the psychological manipulation and the psychological trauma. I've worked with hundreds of domestic violence survivors, and every single one of them said, you know, the bruises, the bones, they healed. It's the living in terror that controlled me and was the most awful. And so I do think there's an element of that we'll learn more about potentially. The other piece that happens is when there's coercive control going on, there becomes the victim feels responsible for how the narcissist or whoever is, what their behaviors are. Mm-hmm. So they tend to make excuses for them. They tend to cover up things for them. They start to not even see how bad some of those behaviors were. Mm-hmm. Right. So I do truly think she didn't know what was going on. She was out of town, you know, those times. Right.
So that's up for debate a little bit. I mean, there's some question there. One of the attorneys, John Ray, has had found some pieces of evidence that kind of contradict some of it. For this many murders, allegedly, be out of town every time or all. I guess that could be the case where it's like, well, when she's gone, I'm going to go kill sex workers. But I mean, what a weird thing, but it's to be that unaware. I don't know how one would be that unaware of what's going on in their household. I mean, maybe not aware that he's killing sex workers allegedly, but the depravity, the bizarre sexual behavior. I don't know how you're with someone that long and have zero clue about any of that. I mean, fill me in if I'm really just looking at this with blinders.
We can't underestimate the degree that the psychological coercion and dissonance has. Mm-hmm. And so even if there was awareness, I mean, you know, he had how many burner phones and was calling how many sex workers? Yeah. Like, yes, I agree that there's some element that she had to at least be suspicious of.
Yeah.
But you just can't see what you're not ready to see.
Okay.
And they are so skilled at being able to cover up and lie and find these plausible deniability things to keep their supplies on the hook and to keep them around. I mean, it's pretty clear that he put what he wanted ahead of what anybody else in the family needed. I mean, just looking at how much he spent on firearms alone compared to the state of his home.
Yeah.
So that element of just not her needs not being important, I can see how that really influences a person. And then I don't know how to describe it other than you don't see it until you can see it.
With someone like Huerman, and obviously alleging that these things happen, is it easier for a narcissist to get away with extreme behavior? And because it is so extreme, because you really wouldn't expect your partner to be out killing sex workers or engaging with sex workers, period, in any way, shape, or form, unless you got some weird agreement going on like Bill Cosby did. Is that how they're able to go to such extremes, and why it maybe someone like Asa didn't see it for as long as she did not, because there is that plausible deniability. There's no way that he's doing something that extreme. Mm-hmm. I'm just worrying about this too much. It's my imagination. I mean, people don't do that sort of thing. That sort of reasoning that goes on where it's far easier to I guess understand, oh, they had an affair or something like that, and go, well that's easier to I guess have happened than going out and killing sex workers. But because it is such an extreme and such a crazy thing that you're able to get away with it, or people like they're able to get away with far worse behavior because it is so extreme.
And my guess is that it potentially, as far as what she was aware of, It probably progressed too, right? So maybe it started with some behaviors that were not quite as intense, and he wrote those off, and then she accepts that line, right? And then it gets a little bit worse, and then she accepts whatever excuse he comes up with. They're skilled, really skilled at lying and creating a sense of terror, even if, and I don't know the dynamics, if he was physically abusive towards Asa or not, but there's still this terror that occurs that I can very much imagine, like, even if she knew or suspected some things were going on, he could rewrite the story. He's taught her how to be living in his world from his perspective and not trust her own sense of truth. So there's a lot of self-doubt that goes on, like, oh, it couldn't really be this. Mm-hmm. It couldn't really be that he's like, who actually is married to somebody that goes out and kills a bunch of people, right? Yeah. Like, that, how could I end up here? There's that doubt that that narcissists are also skilled at developing in their targets. And so between the combination of not trusting yourself, him coming up with good reasons for plausible deniability, hiding things, right? You can't go in this room. Of course, somebody's going to be suspicious of what's in the room, but unless you're ready to really face it, you're not going to go in the room. Or if you're terrified of what the repercussions could be, you're not going to go in the room. So yes, I think in many ways, the more outlandish they are, the almost easier it is to get away with some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But they've done their groundwork to get to that point too.
That's true. Yeah. Let's talk about Brian Koberger a little bit. That's another case and a very interesting one, because we've gotten a chance to get a glimpse into his world, into his mind on some things through some of the writings that had been out there online early on, talking about the was it visual snow or something of that nature? But just the early writings that we saw when this case kind of first started breaking and everybody was trying to figure out who is Brian Koberger, it was really interesting to read, if in fact it was him, and we believe it is, his accounts online of at some point in his mid-teen years, recognizing a lack of empathy, recognizing that he kind of went from like being this child who had all these feelings and then suddenly it was gone. And he didn't know why, but he knew something was very, very off. And as you watch his arc of life continue, he certainly struggled with interpersonal relationships everywhere he went. The accounts that people had of interacting with him were very bizarre, seeming like he was just seeming to be missing something. Obviously, I know you can't diagnose Brian Koberger, but again, someone who kind of got into a fairly self-centered way of thinking, from what we know. I mean, was that narcissism, or is there something else going on there from what you've looked at, and what we do know about him? What's been your take on that character?
Yeah, he's been a confusing one to me, honestly. My gut has not been narcissism necessarily. I feel, and I don't know. He's been hard. He's been a hard one to figure out. So, you know, part of me wonders if there is some like neurodiversity going on that he wasn't getting support for, to be able to understand how to interact with people well, if maybe there's a different mental health issue that's been going on that he was able to mask. I mean, clearly he's a very bright person. So was he able to mask something else that was going on? I'm not sure. The interactions that we hear of are not really typical of a narcissistic mm-hmm. behavior. I mean, they are in the self-centered way, but they're not in the control way. It's mm-hmm. more just kind of being a prick and awkward to people.
Yeah.
You know?
And one of the things I looked at, you know, early on, and just the interactions that he had specifically with females, with some mm-hmm. of the students, and what we heard about somebody who'd gone on a date with him, and his writings, his frustrations that we know that he had with women. What came to my mind is the idea of the incel. And now I know incel mm-hmm. type people. Is a debate on whether you have to be part of this community or something to be an incel. Mm-hmm. I don't consider it that. This is my way of thinking. I'm like, I think you can have that way of thinking without necessarily having community around it. Mm-hmm. I think one can certainly operate on that sort of scale. And that's a disturbing thing because there's a lot of people out there like that. There's literally communities for it because we celebrate everything now, rather than maybe like we should have a little more shame in our world for people like this. So maybe it pulls them out and not decide to join the Facebook group about hating women that reject you. But obviously there's a lot of people, there's a lot of men out there that have been rejected left and right. And then they become the victim. They have this hate mm-hmm. for women, and then it happens where we see them lash out. Sometimes we've seen murderers that go out and do these sort of things. The Roger kid whose name escapes me, but he had the whole manifesto, talked on YouTube about how he was going to go and take out these women. Eventually did. I'm wondering if that is something that maybe Koberger, operated by, mm-hmm. Of this mm-hmm. hate. And what is that when you have someone that just refuses it to such an extreme to take responsibility for their own actions and go, maybe it's you, maybe you're just really awkward and shitty around women and maybe you should learn to do better. Maybe stop doing the same things that are making people reject you. But they rather go, it's them, it's their fault, and I'd rather be, you know, celibate and hate them. That's another extreme scary one that seems to result mm-hmm. in violence quite often. Can you speak to mm-hmm. that at all with this?
Sure. And again, I don't know. I mean, there's clearly some narcissistic tendencies mm-hmm. within that group. But it still feels different to me. It feels more that it's trauma based and then they bond with other people and just stir up this, toxic masculinity and anger and rage and, you know, boys will be boys so they can get away with some of this stuff. And then there are some people that take it obviously even further to a point where they kill or harm, women in particular. So some elements, I think there's some trauma there. That's actually partly why I'm wondering if there's been some neurodiversity going on with him, that it was just not that he wasn't taking responsibility for what he did to cause the rejections. But for a lot of neurodivergent people, there isn't an understanding of what went wrong. Mm-hmm. And so it is very difficult to then even know like what to fix. Like it's confusing, right? And then it just feels like a rejection and sometimes feels that it's something wrong with them, but then get in the right group and you can flip that and turn it around towards anger, towards the perpetrators of the rejection. Mm-hmm. clearly, I'm not saying that all neurodivergent people, nor are most neurodivergent people, violent in any way. But having that disconnect and that difficulty in just understanding relationships and nuances of social relationships and romantic relationships could manifest in rage that's directed outwards rather than inwards. Another possibility, given his age, would be that there's some sort of like delusional psychosis kind of stuff that's mixed up in there too. In which, I mean, there's specific types of delusion where they believe that somebody is attracted to them, and they believe like they're full into this fantasy world and fantasy mm-hmm. life with this person. And then when that delusion is confronted and is shown to not be true, then that can shift into more aggressive types of behaviors. Like I said, he's a confusing one for me.
Yeah. He's a confusing one for everybody. I mean, there's so many theories as to like what's going on here. You know, if it is in fact him, I mean, the evidence sure points to it being him. I mean, another angle that we've looked at with this is, did he want to go along for the ride? You know, his wanting to be in the world of criminal justice and such, but obviously that was falling apart. Was this some weird fantasy of like, I want to go and experience committing this crime to make me understand this better? Or I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of weird angles that I guess, you know, it could be the motive for anybody, but that's the biggest problem with this whole case is what is the motive? Like, I mean, other than somebody's mm-hmm. really off way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, I think you can see that under the surface and then it bubbles out, obviously, at times, it's just a lot of rage too. I mean, while he was sitting in the first hearing, you could see his jaw clenching just really visibly, which is rage, right? Anger. So whether that's anger about being caught, whether it's anger about that it's just these women and the one guy, like who cares about them? I don't know. Is it curiosity? It will be interesting as hopefully we can hear more and more about potential actual motive and what his inner thoughts were. Although I don't know that we'll get that from him.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.